Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. I'm overjoyed to be joined today by the one and only Kendra Middleton. You can find her on Twitter at Kenny Middleton. You can find her on Insta at Kendra Middleton. And of course, you can find her on 98.5, the Sports Hub, Boston's home for sports. She is a huge Jaguars fan, and she's going to be helping us break down Packers Jacksonville. I must say, Kendra, before I intro you anymore, I did see on Twitter you have an issue when anyone says Jaguar. And I may have had a propensity every now and again to say Jaguar. I've been trying to avoid it all week by just saying Jacksonville. So you have full autonomy to call me out for it if I say Jaguar at all. So anyway, how are you doing, Kendra?
I'm really well. Thanks so much for having me. It's kind of funny that you say that because my mom, actually her whole family are from Wisconsin, and she definitely got corrected on the Jaguar thing early, I believe.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I will see it every now and again where I don't even recognize it. And I don't like going to an episode thinking I'm going to talk about Jacksonville. And all of a sudden I'll see in the comments, did you say Jaguar? It's like Jaguar. And I'm like, oh, son. Yeah. So it just comes out.
Well, in the UK, they say Jaguar. So I guess I don't know what's worse.
No, that's way better. Any accent's better than a Wisconsin accent for the most part. So
except for Boston.
That might be true. All right, well, let's start with the Jacksonville Jaguars and how they are starting so far this season. They are 2-5 on the year. They just got back from their trip to London, obviously. They've won two of their last three games. So just kind of tell me the story of where Jacksonville is at this point in the season.
I think that the big story is just kind of the failure of coaching. A lot of people are pointing fingers at a lot of different options. Is it the GM? Is it the coaching? Is it the actual talent themselves? Have the players given up on the team? I'm in the camp that it's absolutely coaching and coordinators. I think that Doug Peterson and Press Taylor have kind of become a little bit of a two-headed monster in a way. They seem to really be only vouching for each other and the finger pointing and things like that and throwing everyone else under the bus, including Trevor Lawrence. And I think when you have your franchise quarterback and Trevor Lawrence and your head coach and Doug Peterson very clearly not getting along, that's obviously a cause for problems, right? And I don't think it's been a secret. And I don't think it's been a secret that some of the players are starting to fight with each other either. I mean, we've seen Trevor Lawrence and Gabe Davis get into it on the sidelines, and Trevor Lawrence is not that type of player. So when you see that happen, I think that there's really just once, I think, and it doesn't even have anything to do with the fact that it's the franchise quarterback. I think it has to do with the fact that it's Trevor himself. Once you see a player like Trevor Lawrence, who usually keeps his head down, goes to work, does his job, keeps his mouth shut in, you know, any kind of press conferences online, very unproblematic, start to lose his cool, that's when I start to worry that the locker room's probably pretty gone.
And that's what I was kind of wondering as well. I kind of went into that last game against New England where if they didn't win against New England, I was wondering if Doug Peterson was still going to be the head coach of this team in this game. And maybe he would have been either way, but it definitely felt like it was not trending in a great direction. And then they go down early, thankfully for Jacksonville. They come back and win that game relatively easily. And obviously Doug Peterson is still the head coach, but walk me through how big of a game is this for Jacksonville? I mean, obviously you can't go to 2-6 if there's any sort of real opportunity to try to make any sort of run whatsoever. I don't even know if we're in that realm at this point, but just to sort of start getting things a little bit back on track again, I know they won two of the last three, but this still feels like a big game for Jacksonville overall.
I don't really think that this is that huge of a game. I think just because I think last week was the week where you had to worry, right? And if that Patriots team were healthy, I think that the result might be a little bit different. We look at, you know, all of the players, all of the injuries, all of the chaos that is the, you know, kind of live reality TV show that's going on with the New England Patriots right now. I think if you lose that game, that's when you start to have to worry. But they can't really go out there this week and play that way because they have the Packers this week, next game's the Eagles, the Vikings after that, the Lions after that, you play the Texans again after that, and you finish out with primarily divisional and the Jets after that. You can't really have the mentality that, okay, we have to win because our season depends on it. When you go through the gauntlet that they're about to go through, you cannot go out there and play like that. Last week was the week that you had to worry about. I would say Chicago was probably your season. So right now, I think that they're just playing for pride, and that's it.
Fair enough. And I mean, that's fine from a Green Bay standpoint. Yeah, I did not realize the brutality of that schedule upcoming for them. And yeah, they're going to have to find wins any way that they can at this point. Yeah. They have gone 2-1 in their last three games. Now, I get Indianapolis, New England, two of those wins. It's not exactly like, you know, they're tearing up anything or setting the world on fire, but they still have won two of their last three, which is better than it had been previously. So is there anything in these last three games that they have found out, anything that they're doing better? Obviously, Tank Bigsby's doing well, but like anything that they can kind of cling on to as they try to pick up a win against Green Bay?
So I would love to say yes, but it doesn't seem like Press Taylor is learning as he goes. And I think that that's kind of the story of the offense, is that he continues to make the same mistakes. When you look at someone like Brian Thomas Jr., who is one of the top receivers, no matter what stat you want to look at in the NFL for receivers right now, or rookies in general, and you're not targeting him consistently until the second quarter, that's an issue. And when you, the only thing that I think that the offense did well last week was continue to pound the rock because they knew that that was working for them. I think what's going to happen this week, because if I know Press Taylor the way that I unfortunately think I do, they're going to bring Travis back this week. They're going to put the offense and the running game back through Travis when it should stay through Tank, because he's earned it. And in football, you have to ride the hot hand. The same way we see, you know, in goaltending and any other sport, you have to ride the hot hand. And I think that that is where Press Taylor tends to fail himself. And I know that Doug Peterson is allegedly starting to, you know, take the reins away from him as far as the play calling goes. I'm not really sure what kind of, you know, positives you can really look towards, other than the fact that Dewey Wingard and Foye Oluokun are maybe going to be back in the next, you know, couple of weeks. That's about as uplifting news as you're going to get. Cam Robinson, I don't think, is playing this weekend. It's really just sink or swim. That is where they are at.
I wish you would stop sugarcoating it and tell us how you feel about Press Taylor and the Jacksonville Jaguars, Kendra. This is a brutally, I absolutely love this. I think the true Boston side is very much coming out, and this is absolutely amazing. I hope this continues. I like, no offense, but I hope, like, you know, from a Green Bay standpoint, that you are even more upset next week after this Green Bay game. But I was going to ask about this later, but I know this was down to like a 3.5 point line as of yesterday. I think it's back up to 4. I haven't checked it yet today, but is this a little bit surprising to you that Jacksonville is in that same sort of like 3.5-4 point range as underdogs in this game?
No, I don't hate the fact that they're a home dog. The Packers are very clearly a better team. They're a better coached team. And I think that that is a huge difference here. If you want to look at the statistic, the Jaguars are scoring about 20 points per game. The Packers are scoring about 27. The Jags are letting up 27 and the Packers are letting up 20. I guess that the fact that they're at home is probably where you see those couple points maybe made up, but I think that that's probably right about spot on if you ask me.
No, fair enough. And we'll take 27-20 and we'll take a 4-point victory if that's what it ends up needing to be. I did just double check. It is a 4-point spread at this point as we are recording this. All right. So tell me, from a Green Bay standpoint, who the Packers should be worried about from a Jacksonville standpoint, of maybe somebody we don't know, or just somebody that should maybe strike fear in the hearts of the Green Bay Packers.
So if you want to go with somebody you don't know, I think that Parker Washington's the answer, right? We saw him with that huge kick, or was it a punt return last week in the Packers game, or in the Patriots game? I think that he, if you're looking for someone slightly under the radar, that's probably your guy. I've been saying Tank Bigsby all season, but now that he's had two monstrous games, I don't think that that's my hot take. But so I would say probably Parker Washington is your big answer here, just because Brian Thomas Jr. is not quiet. Everybody knows Christian Kirk. If you are listening to this before game time on Sunday, I think that the best, you know, anytime touchdown I've seen on the board, no matter what game it is Evan Engram plus 225. He's been out a majority of, you know, the beginning of the season. He's back. You are going to have to go to Old Reliable in a game against a really good team, a decent defense. You're going to have to put points on the board. Evan Engram is that Old Reliable for Trevor Lawrence. And even with him coming back, he's maybe dropped one pass the entirety of the time. Third downs, he's been the guy. He does it all. So at that price, I really like Evan Engram this week. If you're looking for, you know, maybe not a long shot, but a decent return, I think that's your guy. So I would say Parker Washington, and I'm going to cheat a little bit and give a second pick at Evan Engram.
No, I like the Evan Engram one too, because Green Bay has traditionally struggled with tight ends, and Green Bay's been a little bit more blitz happy as of late with Jeff Hafley. Now they're doing some creative stuff and bringing blitzes, but still trying to get, you know, 6-7 guys in coverage with it. But when you do get a little bit of pressure, a quarterback has a bit more of a propensity to go to, like you said, their Old Reliable. In this case, Evan Engram, who you know where he's going to be, you know what he can do for you, and you can throw him a jump ball and he can come down with it, especially in the red zone. So I actually like that pick quite a bit. Let's go back to Trevor Lawrence for a moment, because I think there's still sort of, to an extent, this idea, Trevor Lawrence, first overall pick in the draft, he was supposed to be the next big thing, whether it be the next Andrew Luck or something like that. We've seen flashes from Trevor Lawrence, but still doesn't feel like they've, you know, the Jacksonville offense and specifically Trevor has completely put it together. It sounds like you may put that a little bit again on the coaches and the offensive staff on this one, but where do you come down on Trevor as a QB in the NFL right now?
So this is actually one of my favorite questions. I think that currently, if I'm not mistaken, as of 2 days ago, so prior to Thursday night, Trevor was ranked 7th in QBR this season. He's thrown less interceptions than Patrick Mahomes on more passes. And that being said, almost every single season that Trevor has been in the NFL, his receivers have led the league in drops. And I think that that's something huge that people don't account for with Trevor. And I am a bit of a Trevor apologist. That game against the Bears, his receivers dropped 4 touchdowns, not 4 passes, 4 touchdowns. And I just think that that's the way that this whole thing is always pointed at Trevor Lawrence. And I get that he's your leader. He's your captain. He's your quarterback. He's your franchise guy. He was shoved down your throat that he was the next second coming of Jesus, right? Like, I get that. I promise that I do. And I know that there are people out there who are like, well, you're just apologizing for him because he's your quarterback. It's like, no, look at the statistics of drops that he's dealt with throughout his career. So do I still believe in Trevor Lawrence? Yes, but I think that if there's any saving him and not watching him be Sam Darnold or Geno Smith or, you know, Baker Mayfield somewhere else, they've got to get this coaching staff out of there. And unfortunately, I do think that he deserves a little bit of that diva treatment and who comes in to replace some of these guys, because I think that he's earned that, whether that be, you know, some of these guys from Clemson that he's worked with or anybody in the coaching tree that's gone somewhere else that he's worked with prior. I don't really care at this point. Like, you've got to give the kid some reins or you're going to lose him. And I just, that is my biggest thing right now, is that I worry that I'm going to have to watch, you know, the promised one be Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold somewhere else. And as much as I would love that for Trevor, I would hate that for me and this fan base.
It's so funny because as you were saying it, and, you know, some of the things that he's had to go or like that has surrounded him in Jacksonville, I'm thinking it reminds me a bit of the Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, Sam Darnold everywhere he's got to before Minnesota, and just some of these situations, Geno Smith you brought up as well, where they're not put in great positions and then all of a sudden they get to a team that actually has a coach that knows how to utilize them and a good offense and players surrounding them. It's like, oh, they actually were that talented all the way along. It's just they weren't in the right situation previously. And sometimes it takes quarterbacks some time too. And I think you can make an argument. It's an interesting juxtaposition because I like a lot of the talent on this Jacksonville team. And that's one of the questions I actually wanted to ask you. And you've kind of already went around about way of answering it and saying like, hey, it's the coaches, the offensive coordinator, et cetera. But like, I like a lot of the talent on this team. And you look at it on paper and you say, why is this offense just not clicking to the level that it feels like it should? And again, I think you've done a great job of defining a lot of the reasons why, but it feels like, especially again, getting somebody like Brian Thomas Jr. in the first round, that this is an offense that should start clicking. And it just really hasn't, to the extent, at least I would have expected it to. And hopefully, to your point, it doesn't have to be where Trevor ends up somewhere else to have that take off. And hopefully they can figure out a situation that's attainable for him in Jacksonville. It's just been so weird so far.
Yeah, it's definitely been tough to watch as a fan. And I do agree with you that on paper, this team looks incredible. And I don't think that they've necessarily blown a lot of the draft. I think that their first round picks have been pretty decent, maybe even the second round. Or you can even look at the third round with some of the talent that they've gotten in the last 2 years specifically. I think that it's the lack of complementary football at times too, right? You know, like, we look at some of these games earlier in the season where, you know, the defense had a good game and the offense just couldn't put any points on the board. And then you look at the next week when people start pointing fingers at Press Taylor, Ryan Nielsen does something equally stupid. And, you know, the offense goes out there and scores all these points and the defense can't keep up. And it's just, it's really frustrating. I specifically look back, the Colts game for sure. Like, the Jaguars put up 37 points in that game and the defense let 34 up. And do I think that Joe Flacco is a better quarterback than Anthony Richardson? Yes, but that's inexcusable. I was at that game in the pool and I was ripping my hair out the entire time. Same thing with the first game against the Dolphins. The defense goes out there and they play lights out. Everybody's healthy for the Dolphins. Tua's still out there. And Travis Etienne fumbles the football in the end zone.
Yep.
Or you can even go to the Bills game. Like, neither side of the football played that well for that game, but you can't be letting up 47 points and actually be expected to be taken seriously in the AFC. You just can't. I don't care. It's too early in the season.
Hey, everybody. It's week 8. Week 8. slow down season. You're going way, way, way too fast. But there's still plenty of NFL season left, which means there's still plenty of Prize Picks winning to be done right now. When you sign up on Prize Picks, you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the bonus. It is guaranteed. Make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long. Of course, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action, and you can join over 10 million users who are already signed up. This week, I'm going with kickers. You heard me right. I am going with kickers. Justin Tucker, he is going to kick a ton of field goals against the Browns. Younghoe Koo is going to kick a bunch against the Bucks, and Brandon McManus is going to do well in his return to Jacksonville. So it is kicker week for me on Prize Picks. As always, there are plenty of options for you to choose from, but remember, whoever you choose, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Things you will never hear at Lambeau Field. I was watching the game in the pool, something that will never happen at Lambeau Field. I love that it's in Jacksonville, though. It is one of the very cool features that they put in there, and that does sound actually quite amazing. All right, let's get to the defensive side of the ball for Jacksonville. I look at this secondary and I say, I don't know how they potentially stop all of these Packers weapons. I specifically look at former Green Bay Packer Darnell Savage and say, I feel like they could potentially target him in this game. Antonio Johnson's been up and down. Like, is it as bad as maybe it looks on paper, or are you maybe a little bit more bullish on what the secondary could potentially do against Green Bay?
So, had this been 2 weeks ago, I think you guys would be in an even better position than you are now because Tyson Campbell's back. So I think that that helps them a lot. It gives them a little bit of juice. I do think he got a little lost at times in his first game back last week. We're unclear when Foye is going to be able to help with the linebacking crew, which I think would take some pressure off of, you know, the rest of the secondary. Yep. Andrew Wingard, also a question mark. Don't really know. They got cleared for their 21 days of return to practice this week. So really just kind of a question mark there. I would love to say that Andre Sisco is playing the caliber of football that he was playing in 2022 and early in last season, but he's not. I don't really Ronald Darby, I think that he is shined brighter than I expected him to. I'm not quite sure I'm ready to give him an entire bouquet of flowers yet, but I can't. I'm right there with you. They try and sign Tashawn Gibson to bring in some help. That obviously clearly didn't work out for anything because he hasn't touched the field. So I get the probably confidence that you have in the ability to get some big chunk plays down the field with your receivers this week. So I am just as fearful as you would assume I would be, just not as much as 2 weeks ago without Tyson.
That is totally fair. Of course, if Green Bay does want to get some of those explosives, they're going to have to be able to protect up front. And you have two premier pass rushers, former first round picks, Trayvon Walker, and of course, Josh Hines-Allen. How have they played so far this year? And is this something that Green Bay is going to maybe have to chip and help out? Or do we think that maybe Zach Tom and Rashid Walker might be able to kind of maintain those matchups one-on-one?
So I feel very differently about the two of them, to be completely honest. I expected Josh Allen to be, and I can't get on the Josh Hines-Allen thing.
I hate name changes like that. And like, I've never been able to get on board with one. I'm with you.
I try to be like, you know, football woke or whatever the kids want to call it about people changing their last names or whatever. Just say you're trying to differentiate yourself from white Josh Allen. Like, sorry, but that's my rant. But I feel differently between the two. I expected wholeheartedly after watching Josh Allen on the Jacksonville Jaguars to go out last season and have a career year because he's one of these guys who has always performed really well under pressure and, you know, flown under the radar without any sort of pressure. And him needing a new contract, he earned that contract, and I'm glad that they are retaining their own talent. However, he has not lived up to that contract whatsoever this year, not even in the slightest. Trayvon, on the other hand, I do consistently see him take a little bit of a leap each year, but it takes him 7 or 8 weeks to settle into the season consistently, and I think that that's a big thing for him. I think that the biggest Trayvon's also dealt with a lot of, and I'm not to do this, a lot of no-call holds throughout the season that sure. I think that his stat sheet would be a lot more decorated if that wasn't the case. But I'm not quite looking at these two the same way that I'm looking at the lack of production from Arik Armstead. That is the big, you know, for me on this team this season. I think that that was a huge wannabe signing in the offseason that has not helped this defense whatsoever. And so I'll let Josh off the hook. You had a big year last year. If you can, you know, kiss my butt and the rest of the fan base a little bit further through the rest of the season, maybe get a couple of sacks, fine. Trayvon, I'm seeing you take the jump. I'm seeing you get held. Eric Armstead, get off of YouTube, stop making the dang videos, and get on the stat sheet. I can't do with it anymore.
Yeah, he was a big free agent signing, expected to be somebody that could really help the pass rush, specifically on the interior, and hasn't really been the case. Walker's been averaging almost a sack per game over the course of like the last like season and a half almost, so he's been great. And then, you know, if you do need some holding penalties, you do need to get those called. Rasheed Walker, not the worst person to go against. I think he's at like 4 holding penalties for the year so far, so you might be able to finally get a couple if you just match him up against Rasheed Walker this upcoming week. As we take a look away from like the X's and O's and everything like that, as you go into this game, what are you just most looking forward to watching as the Packers take on the Jaguars?
I wouldn't say what I'm looking the most forward to watching, because I don't think that this is going to be a particularly fun game as a consumer. But my mom is a Wisconsin transplant to Jacksonville. She's lived there for over 30 years now. Okay. I was obviously born and raised in Jacksonville, but it's always just this kind of, you know, thing for me and my mom whenever this random game comes around. And me and the rest of my family, we all kind of tease each other. Me and my uncle will send each other, you know, hey, F you texts like throughout the week, those kind of things. So it's not so much the same as another week of Jaguar games for me. This one kind of hits home a little bit differently. My inheritance from my grandfather was actually a Packers playoff sweatshirt from the 90s, and I still wear it. So I don't hate you guys. This is an NFC AFC thing. I'm not a Packers fan by any means, but the rest of my family is, who doesn't live in Jacksonville. So this is a near and dear game to my heart.
Can you adopt Green Bay as your second team? Like, where are they?
If there was a second team, it would be the Green Bay Packers. Your girl's been to Lambeau Field. My first legal drink was at Lambeau Field. I am deep in the Packers lore. Don't get me wrong. When I was born and raised in Jacksonville, and my first love was the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they beat my heart in more than any boy ever. But I think that it is the most toxic relationship that I just will never get out of.
Everyone's first legal drink should be at Lambeau Field. That should be the rite of passage, the coming of age. That should happen for everyone. I'm glad you got to have that happen to you. I kind of feel like maybe where we're trending, but I'm going to ask anyway, what is your final prediction for this game?
I said yesterday that it was 27-20 because that's what the statistics and analytics show, and I'm rocking with that. I think that that is a very justifiable and accurate position to take.
Now, did you say that on our rival show on the Locked On Packers podcast? Is that where you maybe had said that?
I didn't know that this was a rivalry.
Oh, unacceptable. I will forgive you this once, but clearly this was the better experience though, right? Like, quite obvious. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I do want to get any final thoughts that you have about this game. Anything else you want to get out there?
I will say you did reach out to me first. Kudos to you for
Peter
that.
Bukowski. Take that.
Yeah, Peter.
I may
hopefully
not have
your
best,
listeners are nicer.
Amazing. All right, Kendra, thank you so much. Where can we find all of your incredible work and anything that you'd like to plug on the way out?
So I do most of my sports content. Question. Are you an X-sayer or a Twitter-sayer?
I say Twitter still.
Me too.
I say X for a bit, and it just didn't feel right, so I'm still saying Twitter.
My thing is how do you, like, you know how you'll be like, oh, I gotta tweet something. Like, I gotta X something? Like, that just doesn't, So most of my sports stuff is over on Twitter. You can follow me at Kenny with an I Middleton there. I do more lifestyle, like food, goofy content over on my Instagram. So if you're looking for something more lighthearted with either way, if you don't like the F word, don't follow me. I'm going to throw that out there now, but I'll be happy to have you if you do.
That is absolutely amazing. I think, by the way, you are probably the first person that I've ever had on that matches me in pace in talking, because I talk extremely fast.
We
got through an entire I'm like, this will probably be like, with the amount of topics we have, I'm like, this will probably be a solid 30-40 minutes that we'll go through. No, you and I just breeze right through it. 22 minutes in, good and out. I cannot thank you enough for joining. I appreciate you a ton. Go follow her at Kenny Middleton on Twitter, K-E-N-N-I Middleton. And of course on Insta at Kendra Middleton. You can find her over there. And of course on 98.5, the Sports Hub as well. That is going to do it for us today. Kendra, best of luck, as much as I can give, to your Jacksonville Jaguars this upcoming weekend. That's going to do it for Kendra and I, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.